This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Here we are. Rosalind is already laughing. Already laughing because get her act together.
What do you mean?
Wait, you're very, I want to start this podcast by saying you look beautiful today. Wow.
Aww,
you are done up. You have makeup on. The hair the hair is did. You got a blow dried
My
straight.
Hair is did. What the heck is that? Listen.
Blow dried straight.
I decided that after 12 days, no, 13 days doing quarantine and looking crazy, today I was going to dress, I'm not dressed up, but I was going to put some effort and do some hair and makeup for my beautiful husband.
You know, I just realized.
I'm lying. We had an interview before. But anyways, I did it for you anyway.
Nothing to do with me. It has zero to do with me.
I just realized.
Because we're on FaceTime right now. I just realized you're wearing your wedding ring. Impressive.
I am.
Even in quarantine.
The band.
Making sure making sure people know that you're taken, even in quarantine.
Inside my hotel room? Wow.
It's impressive. I haven't had my wedding ring on since we got in quarantine.
Why is that?
I don't know why I said it, because I was like, I just opened a can of worms.
Yeah, because I'm very confused. Because I'm that, like, me not having it on makes sense because I'm in quarantine, so I'm not seeing anybody, but you're out and about every single day. You're in Los Angeles, California.
I don't know why I just said that.
You know what, Eric? You're not anymore. It's been like a year since you go to the actual gym.
I never use it at the gym. I can't work out with it.
Eric loves going to the gym with a wedding ring. It's so convenient for you.
I can't work out with a ring on.
Of all places in the freaking world, you go to the gym without a wedding ring.
Have you tried lifting dumbbells with ring on your
finger? I do. My ring. This
like
band.
A 5-pound dumbbell, not a freaking like 80-pound dumbbell that you're pushing.
But Eric, you use gloves. You use gloves.
No,
I never understood
gloves.
That, guys. Does your husband,
pad.
People, okay, listeners, girl, ladies, all the married ladies, does your husband go to the gym without a wedding ring? That's a good question for everybody to answer.
I don't see a lot of guys wearing wedding rings at the gym. Sometimes I see ladies with wedding rings, but I'm sure a lot more ladies are married than I see the ones wearing wedding rings. I don't think it's that common because I don't like working out with jewelry on. I don't like having things on me when I'm working out, sweating. Like, could you have a necklace on, rings? You could have that?
Eric, I'm not talking about necklaces or earrings. I'm talking about, as a married man, when you go to the gym, have your wedding ring on. Like this.
It's
have a wedding ring on. It's not, you're using, it's not uncomfortable. He's saying that it's uncomfortable. You use gloves. So excuses. But whatever. If you want to go to the gym and act like you are single, you're all single.
This was definitely not on our rundown to get into this. And I don't know why I even brought that up. I was like,
I'm actually joking. I don't care. You don't want to wear your wedding ring for the gym?
No,
the
I actually.
Ladies to see
since
you,
we've been in quarantine.
To look at you and think that maybe they have the chance. There's a possibility because he's not married. Go ahead. Whatever.
Since we've been in quarantine, my ring has been safely stupido. Wow. It's been safely in my drawer and I just haven't taken it out because we're in quarantine.
Okay.
All right.
I'm done
Whatever.
Talking. I'm talking about this rubbish.
I'm glad just you're done up and you have a ring on. That's great.
Yeah. Because I respect my sanctity. Is that a word? Sanctity of marriage? My vows?
Sanctity.
No.
Yeah. Your vows. That's fine.
You're
on a roll.
Okay, so why? So this podcast, we have decided to do.
This was your idea, this podcast.
Was it my idea?
Yeah.
Okay. So the podcast is going to be about, I'm going to ask Eric 5 questions. He has no idea what I'm going to ask him. And he's going to ask me 5 questions about family, about love, about relationships, about whatever he wants to talk about. And we're going to try to answer the questions in a very transparent, honest, mature, and good way for people to enjoy, but with substance, you know,
you didn't even set up where these questions came from. That was a terrible explanation. You found a website that was like, ask 200 questions you might want to know about your partner. And it ranged everywhere from married to intimacy to, kids, no kids, just knowing about their interests, their likes, their dislikes, who they are, which often I think we always feel like we know them pretty well, But, you know, then you're pleasantly shocked, which happens all the time. You don't know him as well. Like the other day, I do know this. I sent Rosin a picture because she's in quarantine and I'm driving her car and there's a giant box of Whoppers in her center console of her car.
You she's said not supposed that already. To be, I have Cheetos or I have Whoppers.
That's what I'm saying. I think I know you. You're on a regimen where you're not supposed to eat chocolate. You're not supposed to eat bad things because you're going through this trying to change yourself with a surgery coming up and there's a box of Whoppers. Anyways, you think you know somebody. You don't always know them.
Wow.
But I do know that you have a secret life when it comes to food. So we looked at this list of 200 questions and we wanted to expand our knowledge about each other after nearly 15 years.
Tengo miedo, siento miedo.
I'm actually dying to hear what she says. I picked out some questions. She has no idea what they are. She picked out questions. I have no idea what they are. I have no clue how she's going to answer these questions. So
are we going to fight after we finish the podcast? Is it going to be like a big
therapeutic
argument?
Or we'll take a break from talking for a little bit?
Well, good. I'm in Canada. I don't have to see your face for 4 weeks. Perfect.
Wow. That was really sweet. kind. All right. Well, why don't we take a break before we come?
A break already? No, I want to start. Come on. I'm ready. Break? Okay. I guess.
We'll come back with questions. So we are back, still riffing about the wedding ring. Anyways, in our break. All right. So
let's
do
this.
Start?
Five questions.
Are we
doing
one question? Are you starting with all five?
No, let's do one.
Okay,
yes.
You start.
Okay, so question number one. Now that you're married with kids, what life experiences do you miss out on?
I mean, can you even answer that correct? I mean, honestly?
Yeah, it's all about honesty. Don't be talking bullshit. Just talk honesty. You have kids. You're married. When you think about your life, you go, oh, man, I wish I would have done this. And now it's too late.
Oh, so my life is so full and complete. I'm not missing out on anything, babe.
Oh, God.
Well, look, you do miss out. You do miss out on, I think, like buddy time, some good quality guy time. We, fight to try and get a dinner together or something like that. But guy time is usually guys just being idiots and having tons of laughs and goof offs. And I know a lot of guys can take trips and go off on guy trips. You're not too keen on me probably taking a bunch of guy trips to go in places with a bunch of dudes.
Maybe
if I'm on
on
a fishing boat, like stuck in the middle of the ocean, you'd be okay.
Exactly. But depending on what kind of boys trip we're talking about. You know, if it's something like that, you go to the woods, there's a river, like you
no
guys got to go fishing.
So no people around.
Yeah. If it's an isolated type of boys time, then I think it's lovely. You can do those as many times as you want. Now, if you're going to tell me, I'm going to go to Rio, the carnival in Brazil, with my boys.
Okay, first of all, you couldn't go. You get claustrophobic. You would hate all the people all around you.
We're not talking about me going.
But because you can't go, you're denying me of this opportunity of experiencing carnival.
Carnival.
Your claustrophobia is going to take me out of a parade of a celebration of happiness.
You don't have. So you're missing out on the carnival.
I'm missing out on carnival with my friends.
Okay. Well, I'm so sorry that your life is over. And I'm so sorry that you're going to die not experiencing carnival.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm probably, it's mostly just buddy time. That's about it. Like a lot of buddy time. Okay. First question for you. What's our greatest strength as a couple?
Our greatest strength, you know, I think, and I think that we are a great team when it comes, we are accomplishers. Is that a word?
Get things done?
We get things done. Like, and I always, and I'll never forget, I don't know if you remember this, but when we did our first renovation, I think it was. I don't think it was the second one. I think it was the first renovation that we moved out of the house and then we had everything put in back again. We accomplished everything in one day. I'll never forget.
We're efficient.
We're efficient. We did everything and we brought everything back and we furnished the whole house and we decorated and we put all the clothes. I mean, I'm talking about, imagine you move into a brand new house, because that's how it felt. And we did not go to bed until everything was perfectly fine. And I remember that we looked at each other and we did high fives. We were exhausted. And we looked at each other and we went high five and we smiled at each other. And that moment for me was like an X factor moment in our lives, because it clicked on me immediately. We're a good team. You know, we can accomplish everything. It was really, to me, it was really powerful. I don't know.
All right. Wow.
Okay. Yes, mister.
These are good questions. I hope our listeners take these questions and ask their partners.
So this one is kind of heavy, and maybe you never experienced this before, but tell me about a time you almost died.
That I almost died. I don't have a near-death experience per se. I don't know if we spoke about this on the podcast before or not, but I'll try and make it quick. I had a near-kidnapping experience as a child.
I think we did.
Did we talk about it before?
I think we did, yes.
So I would say, okay, without going into a detail, I myself remember almost getting kidnapped by a stranger and was able to avoid it. Thankfully, I'm here. But that still sits in my mind today. What if that would have happened? You know what I mean? Who knows what the outcome would have been, but it's still a weird, I'm at peace with it, but it's a weird thing that occurs in my brain that still circulates.
Okay.
Okay. What do you think the hardest thing about marriage or being in a relationship is?
I think it's the compromising. You know, you have to compromise. Yeah, you have to compromise about everything, pretty much. You know, to be able to like think about the concept of marriage. It's like you decide to say I do, and be with the same person for the rest of your life. Good times, bad times. If you think about that concept, it's almost like incomprehensible. You just go like, how am I going to spend my life with this person that is so different from me, that has so many things that I will never do them the way he'll do them or she will do them. You know, it's a big compromise. So to be able to get into this new arena in your life that you just go, okay, through thick and thin, it doesn't matter how different or equal or whatever we are, I'm going to have to learn to twist and to bend and to be flexible and to understand that if I want to make this work for the rest of my life, I have to compromise. And to me, that's a big deal, because I'm not going to lie to you. There's moments that I just go, and you want to scream, because you just go, can I deal with this for the rest of my life?
I'm a far better compromiser than she is. That's one of the things. For sure. But also, you have the good in the relationship has to outweigh your need or lack of a desire to compromise. If the good outweighs the bad, then compromising shouldn't be that hard, because you know it's for the benefit of the relationship.
No,
that
but
you
it
care
can't
so
be
deeply
hard.
About.
No, I know, but Eric, no, I get that, and
it's
that's
still hard. It's still hard.
Ideal world, you know what I mean? But it's hard. I mean, you can be all in, love this person with all your heart and your soul, and still have moments that you just go, oh my God, do I want to compromise this much? You know, that's when a lot of soul searching and that's when putting things in a balance makes a lot of sense. You know, like when you just go, you know, yesterday, and this is actually very beautiful. This is going to be a very beautiful podcast for you.
We're really on question three. So I don't know. We still have a long way to go.
No way. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. So, you know, I forgot his name.
It was that beautiful.
Tim Robbins, the speaker, the tall guy. He's, you know, everybody knows him. His workshops are really powerful and blah blah blah. So I've been doing, because I'm doing quarantine, and this experience has been very about a lot of soul searching for me. And he talks about what you should do first thing in the morning. And he first thing in the morning, he does three things. Number one, he says gratitude. So he says thank you for three things in his life. Second one is he does a little prayer. And the third thing he does is say, these are the three things that I want to accomplish today, all in 10 minutes. He says, my entire life, first thing in the morning, I take 10 minutes, gratitude, prayer, and Tony Robbins.
Hold on, Tony Robbins. Yeah, Tim Robbins is the
Tim Robbins?
Why? But I'm fully telling you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We got it. Because in my mind, I'm like, yeah.
We're both morons. That's why we're not very smart.
Oh, God. Eric. Tony Robbins.
I'm not very popular. A veces soy tan bruta. Dios mío, soy tan... Yo trato de ser inteligente.
I knew exactly.
I'm like such a highly educated, well-spoken lady. And I'll always fuck up.
I knew exactly what you meant, and so I didn't catch it, because I'm like, yeah, that's exactly
right. Who's Tim Robbins? Who's Tim Robbins?
The actor.
The Bambergers?
No. The who?
What, Tim Robbins? What are this chain of, like, hamburgers? Oh, whatever.
Tim Robbins hamburgers? What are you talking about? No, he's the actor.
So, the actor. I'm not talking about Shawshank Redemption. No. Yeah. I'm talking about Tony Robbins.
It's like me with One Direction and One Republic last couple episodes. Oh my
apologies to Tony Robbins. Oh my God, Tony Robbins. Okay, Tony. Óyeme, pero discúlpame, Tony. Anyways, so tres cosas. Gratitud, oración, and tres cosas que quieres hacer en ese día. So I was going through my gratitude, and I was, of course, I'm grateful for my kids. And then the second one was like...
Wait, your husband? You're not grateful for your husband?
Yes. And I was like, I had such a beautiful moment, Eric, that I was like, I am grateful for Eric. And I started thinking, you know what? I have the luxury as a woman, as a mom, to go away for 5 weeks, away from my family, away from my kids, and have a guy next to me and a baby daddy that is so solid and so incredible and says, go ahead, follow your dreams. I'm home for now, and I'm going to take care of the household, and the kids are going to be okay. And you don't drink, you don't smoke, you know what I mean? You're such a clean, good human being. I'm very lucky.
Thank you. That is very powerful.
You see?
That is very powerful.
It's a beautiful podcast today. No, I mean it. So thank you, Tony Robbins. And thank
and
you,
Tim,
Eric.
Tim, for your acting. Thank you for that, too. It's also gotten us through a lot of tough times. We are out of our minds with names. Okay. Next question for you. Oh, this is a good one. I have no idea how you're going to answer this.
What?
When are you the most you? I know when you can't remember any names, that's part of it, but when are you the most you?
Always. I'm always me.
No, when are you the most you? The real you.
The real me is always, no? Am I faking sometimes?
No, but like, when do you feel the most alive? When do you feel the most alive? Oh. Like, is it, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when are you the most you at your happiest?
Oh my, when I'm with my kids and my husband, and we're like at the park having a laugh, or like sometimes we're in the playroom.
Not when you're on Instagram?
No. Why would you think that? You think I'm like the most me when I'm on Instagram? Jesus Lord, wow. That's the concept that my husband has of his wife. No. You know, I love when we are in the playroom and Sabella and Dylan are just dancing, doing Just Dance on YouTube, and they're dancing, being silly, and we're just enjoying them and think about those two creatures came out of me, and we created those two human beings. And we laugh, and it's just so real, you know? I love it. I think I'm me when I'm working on something that I love. And I'm me when we're in bed and we're being intimate, and I just start saying things and we start laughing hysterical. That's one of my favorite moments ever when we get to do that I just say something and we just crack up laughing. But I think with my kids and you, when we go back to simple things, just being together as a family and having the kids make us laugh.
That's great. I would
what?
I would copy the same sentiment. I feel the same way.
Good.
That's great.
Okay. This is a good one. And then we're going to take a break, but I want to hear this.
No, we got two more.
I know, but can I
Let's get through all five and then we'll take a break.
Oh.
Go.
What can somebody do that makes them immediately unattractive to you, no matter how attractive and beautiful they are physically?
When I see someone who has no depth, or they're so... Why are you laughing?
So you have never dated an airhead? Sure.
I've hooked up with an airhead. I've hooked up with an airhead. I'm not saying I've dated in a relationship an airhead.
I'm sure you have.
No, I like dating people that have substance. Hooking up is a different story. I mean, I don't care about
the substance. Anyway, don't deviate. That's the question.
That's going to turn into a bad podcast. Okay, so anyway. No, substance and someone who doesn't have, and I guess it could fall in the same category, but a realness. I don't like fake people. I would prefer someone who's hard in their tone or firm or tough, but they're real with me, versus someone who puts on a facade, because I read people I feel very well. And as soon as I start to...
I'm not sure about that one. I'm far better than you at reading people. Not really.
I think I read people very well. When I see even a layer go back and it's not what I thought the person was, I'm out. I'm done. I can't stand people that aren't being who they are, like being real.
Okay.
Good to
know.
The next question for you. What's your favorite way that we spend time together?
What is the favorite way that we spend time together? Oh, my goodness.
You and me.
Yeah, me and Eric. In bed, laughing. Yeah, in bed. And we...
Laughing,
yeah. Like we have. I mean, it doesn't happen very often.
What doesn't happen very often? No, we laugh. You mean we don't laugh?
No, we laugh, but like those episodes in bed.
No, but that happens a lot.
Where we have like a actually, laughing pavera.
That happens more often than not. That doesn't happen at all. That happens quite a bit.
Like you
we
think?
Get into okay. a. I think so, but maybe you don't. But I think we get into those laughing fits where we're both crying and it's out of control.
It's awesome.
Yeah, those are awesome. Fun. I mean, laughing, I think it's always been to me one of the most important parts in a relationship.
It is so important, guys. I highly recommend it. You know, I don't know how marriages and relationships can survive if smiling and laughter is not a big component of the whole equation.
And just not taking yourself so serious. I think that's why we joke about each other and tease each other on a podcast for an hour, but we do that at home too. Like that's. We always poke fun at each other. In a way, it's filled with love, but we joke about each other's flaws or things or differences or whatever, and mm-hmm. we make it fun. Like we don't take it too serious.
Yeah. Okay. What questions should partners ask each other before getting married?
Wow. I mean, there are a ton. Kids. Do you or don't you want kids? I think that is a big, big, big one. I think goals in life, aspirations, because if you're not on the same sort of path with your goals, I think it becomes very difficult to try and bring someone into your path. You're never going to be the same.
Did we do that? I'm trying to think.
We didn't ask any of these questions.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think I ever asked.
This is after us being together for so long, I've realized these are things I wished I would have asked up front. But I think we would have been fine because we do have a lot of the same goals, the same aspirations. We both knew we wanted kids. I knew I wanted kids for sure. I think you were kind of like, sure, if I find the right person. But I don't think kids for me was always like, yes, I'm having kids.
But I don't think I knew that. I don't think that when I met you and I married you, I don't think I knew that for a fact you wanted to have kids. I don't know if I did.
Yeah, I don't think we asked any of these questions.
Why? That's
but I
not
think
good.
They're important.
Yeah, they are important.
And
so
I also
think guys.
Probably maybe like a broad conversation of values would be good, like family values, upbringing. It'd be great to have a conversation on how you would parent because having kids, I think brings out sometimes so many differences in how people would parent, which can cause a lot of stress in a relationship because people parent so differently.
We have experienced that, to be honest, with our listeners, you know, like I think don't you think, Eric? That,
no,
that
we are.
The
we
kids,
parent,
you know,
we parent
yeah.
very different.
We parent. I mean, we make it work.
I mean, we're getting more. We're getting more on the same page. But
yeah,
it started
but we,
out.
I have a more Puerto Rican way of doing things, and Eric has a more square way of doing things. Eric is
She's
really,
like, oh, they have
like,
a cough? Just rub a bunch of oil all over them and stick them in a...
Yeah, you put Vicks...
wrap them
we
up.
Talked about it. Vicks, but and then that's it. You take things way too hard. It's like, you're crazy. Like right now, you know, we're about to encounter, and not to get into the nitty-gritty and start talking things that doesn't pertain or shouldn't interest anybody. But anyways, it's crazy how COVID slowed everything down. Not right for so many people, for everybody, and now things are picking up, and I've been praying so much about like I want to work, I'm not happy if I don't work, I want to work, and now all these different opportunities are coming across, and they've been sent to us, including this movie. I don't know where I get this email, you have an offer to do this thing, you know, and there's going to be a lot of traveling involved, and Eric goes back to work and he shoots in LA and he's committed, he's shooting all the way to first trimester of next year, you know, and I have things that I want to do, and the topic about the kids come across, which is, do they stay in LA the whole time? Do they come with me for some time? Can they come 2 weeks at a time? Does it make sense? And blah, 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 because there's like, you know, there are two of them, that you keep one, I keep the other. Should I take them both? Should they stay with you? What about the dogs? What about, there's so many moving parts to everything once you have children, that it causes a lot of stress and a lot of chaos. So you'll be hearing about that in the upcoming podcast, I'm sure. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm looking at Eric through Zoom. Why are you looking at me like that?
Nothing. It's going to be very interesting. We've had guests. We've had people talk about it. You just don't like to hear it. Everybody does it differently, and there's no right or wrong way.
Exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
I'll never
I'm
forget.
Glad that you just said that. I'm glad that you
no,
just
there's
said
no right
that.
Or
there's
wrong way.
No
you got to do
right
what works for the family, but you do have to realize, like, I remember when we had Boris and Nicole on for like our second episode ever, and they said the same thing. They have two kids. They said, listen, we've always made the home the stability for the kids. We travel, we do what we have to do, and we come back home. The kids' lives stay in a constant. And I think when you start to disrupt the constant too heavily, I think it weighs more on the kids than it does you, because they can't rationalize it the way that we do.
Well,
so,
you think you're putting thoughts in their minds and you're putting words on their mouths. I get all that, and there's a lot of value, and I get it 100%. Routine is important. You know, they have to have structure. I get all that, but I also believe that kids want to be with mom, like, and with dad, and when we chose this for living, and we're both actors, and there's traveling, and there's long hours, and basically our lives, they're completely unpredictable. As of 3 weeks ago, I didn't think I was going to be in Canada. Now I'm in Canada. So I believe that there's a lot of traveling involved. It's important for the kids to be sometimes with mom, sometimes with dad. So if it involves disrupting, forget about school. Do you know what's the best school in the world? Traveling, Eric. Experiences. No. That's the best school in the world. Anyways, next question, because we're going to fight.
We don't agree about this one.
Fight.
Okay, anyways. Fight. What are we, in high school?
Let's take a break.
No, we have one more question.
Yeah, come
stop rushing the break.
Oh my God.
I don't
want
to come back with one question after the break.
Somebody knocked on my door, so I need to go see what's happening. I'm not supposed to see anybody or look anybody because I'm the plague. Anyways, okay, one more question.
All right, one more question. We'll take a break. So eager to get off the phone.
No,
my
I don't
turn?
Want to go to the phone. I just want to open the door.
My turn?
It is, yeah.
What do
no,
I do?
I don't know.
I'm going to talk.
Okay, go.
What do I do outside the bedroom that turns you on? Why is that funny?
What do I do inside
what
the bedroom?
What do
that...
I do?
Oh, you do.
Outside of the bedroom that turns you on?
What do you do outside the bedroom?
Why is this funny? I don't understand. You can't answer an intimacy question seriously.
What do you do?
You're like, nothing.
Outside.
I'm never turned on.
Nothing.
I'm a dud. I have no sex drive.
What need to go outside that. Okay, let me think about it.
All the changes in voice, the body language, this shows you how uncomfortable she is answering this question.
No, I don't. I don't. I'm just trying to think when I see you giving Archie and Maraca some love.
That turns you on?
When I see how good of a dad you are. You know what? You know what turns me on? I just never act on it afterwards. But it turns me on a little bit.
That doesn't turn you on enough. That doesn't turn you on enough. That's ridiculous.
Because, you know, before you had your 100,000 surgeries and all your problems, you were working out of the house because of COVID. And you'll be in the patio and the pool is glistening and the cabana looks great and the view is beautiful and it's hot, blue skies, and you're sweating and you look big when you used to look bigger. I'm joking. And so, like, a lot of times I'll look and you go, wow, my husband he's a handsome mother F.
And then you don't act on it.
And then I don't act on it.
But just then you go back and lay in bed.
Just know that the important thing is I'm checking you out. Even when you don't think I'm checking you out, I'm checking you out.
And it still doesn't lead to you acting on it?
No.
Wow. Okay. All right. What's the final question?
I have a final question. What are you into but haven't told me yet?
What am I into but I haven't told you yet?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Just in general? Or like
you sexual? Pick, you decide.
What am I? Oh, this is hard. What am I into? I'm really stumped on this one because I feel like I'm an open book. I don't hide much. I tell you everything.
I hope you do.
No, man, I do. I think if I'm into something, I'm always like, here, let's try this. Let's do that. This is sexy or whatever. Like, you know, I'm a shoe fanatic.
A shoe fanatic?
Like in that in general, like into shoes. I'm into tennis shoes. I'm into, like, sexually, I'll tell you what I'm into. I don't hide it. I just tell you.
What are you into sexually?
Whatever. We could try whatever to spice things up.
Wow, interesting.
I mean, whatever within a boundary. I mean, I'm not cray cray.
So you don't really have an answer about that.
I don't really have an answer of what I'm into.
That's okay. It's okay. Specifically.
What would you? Okay, that's it. Because I couldn't answer that.
No,
what are you into?
It wasn't my question to answer. It was your question. So I think is, can we take a break now?
Yeah, you've been dying to take a break. Okay. Let's take a break. Okay, so we are back looking at each other a little bit unsure about how that went.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. No?
No, it was good. It was good. We have to. So. I'm still shocked that you haven't acted on any of your impulses if you were turned on by me. I'm shocked. I don't get that.
Why are you shocked? Next time I will.
Because I don't get it. Like, I would act on something immediate. I always act on something immediate. And you're like, no, not now.
Wow.
Who was at your door, by the way? Was that like a booty call? You're in quarantine.
A Canadian booty call. Yeah.
Who's at your door? Is that a masseuse?
A masseuse.
You can't have anybody come into your room. Who's at your door?
No, it was they left a FedEx package for some pills that your mom sent to me, and also the new draft of the script with a binder. And it's interesting because I opened the door and the cleaning lady, I haven't had any service because I'm not allowed to have anybody inside my room. So I've been cleaning myself, basically my hotel room. I'm cleaning it myself and I'm doing laundry by myself.
Oh my God, Dios mío.
It's a big deal.
It's so tough.
I'm freaking out.
Life
hotel,
is so tough.
Apartment complex, and I have to do everything myself. Yeah. It's really crazy. Even Sabella was making fun of me when I was telling her, look, Sabella, she's like, can I have a tour of your place? So I gave her a tour and she thought it was a palace. This is so funny. God bless her. Like, her simplicity is beautiful. I love it.
You are living in a big place. You what do you want to be in? A mansion? You're in quarantine for 2 weeks. You're going to be done. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yes, I do. So I'm showing her like the view and she's like, mom, this is great. I love it. I said, yeah, and I have to do my, I'm cleaning, even though I'm a hotel, Sabella, I have to do my turn down service. I have to do everything myself. And she was like, ooh, that is rough. Even Sabella. Isabel understood.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, it's a joke. I'm joking.
You know what I'm into? You know what I'm into secretly, actually, I haven't told you? Is continuing to buy you a bunch of goodies and junk to have you to pack on some weight so you're like, stop trying to starve yourself all the time with eating.
But look, Eric, are you into big food? Asses and are you into all of that? I'm so confused.
There's something I'm into that I haven't told you.
The right lady, dude. Listen to me. The white boy that I married from La Puente, the whitest boy of all white boys, I thought you were like into like skinny model, long skinny legs, you know, like whatever. And now you like the big fake ass and the the skin wiggly, like the
what?
I'm confused.
Just you were eating another box of croissants the other day, and I thought this is really good. You had a box of chocolate croissants, a box of cookies. I'm gonna send you more stuff.
No, I'm done. Because I felt like a pig afterwards. I'm like, well, what am I doing?
Well,
to
you
myself?
Look great.
I should be eating.
Your face is filling out. It's really good.
No,
when you get thin,
that's
good.
Joking? Are you?
I love it. Your face is.
Don't you ever tell me that my
what?
Face.
What? It looks great.
Real.
I like a fuller face on you.
I don't want to have a fuller face. Now I'm in my freaking head. I start shooting next week. You're joking, right?
No. Okay, I'm joking.
Oh my!
No, you look great. You look great.
I mean, I have nothing wrong with women that have like chiseled. I'm actually nothing wrong with women that have round faces and they're puffy. I think it's beautiful. You look younger when you have a face like that.
I go through this too.
I don't want to have a face like that.
If I lose too much weight, my face gets gaunt. I hate it. I'm always trying to gain weight,
joking.
Put weight back
on. Let me change the angle.
Oh, shredded. Oh my God, yeah. Incredible. Like shadowing, what'd you do to yourself?
Stop. Do I look like my face is fuller?
You look fantastic.
You know that when I gain weight, my thighs get big and my face gets big and my
That's
double
what I'm talking
chin
about.
Starts acting up.
That's what I'm talking about. More
do
cookies.
Do I have a double chin right now?
More
do I have a
cookies.
Freaking double chin?
More
oh
cookies.
God. Guys,
all right, well,
listen to me. I'm much better and I'm much more than vanity and superficial. Guys, I promise you I have a lot of content, but I have an issue with my husband telling me that my face looks fuller.
You see, you made it through a great podcast.
A freaking movie.
And now we're going downhill. Your face looks great. Your face looks great. Your thighs look great. Everything looks great. Love you. This has been a lot of fun. Until next time.
I'm shocked.
Do I get into love you back?
Love you.
Subscribe to He Said Ella Dijo on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts.